I am sitting down with Olympic champion, world champion, European champion, James Guy of Britain. This episode of the Swim Swam podcast is sponsored by Commit Swimming, Swim Swam's exclusive team management software partner. Since 2015, Commit has been providing coaches with swimming's leading workout management software. And now, Commit has team management software too. Commit wants to help you make the switch from Team Unify to a simpler, more powerful solution. Their onboarding and customer service team will walk you through every step of the way. Check them out at commitswimming.com to book your demo today. That's C-O-M-M-I-T swimming.com. James, thanks for being here. I have a myriad of topics I want to discuss with you, but right off the bat, The biggest story in swimming right now, it's swept the world really over the weekend, is 23 Chinese swimmers tested positive for TMZ in January of 2021. No one heard about it for over 3 years, until this past weekend. After hearing about this news, and you having sat with it for a few days, and being an athlete, this is your career. This is what you do, and these are your competitors. And this is the administration that is supposed to keep your sport fair and clean. How is this resonating with you?
I think when I first saw it come out, I didn't really believe it. And I was like, it was on obviously Swim Swam, it was on the news. And then Pete messaged it to me, my brother texted it to me, and my coach texted it to me. And I was just like, oh my God, like it's happened again. And obviously seeing the names that are in there, like obviously Duncan Scott, that Wang Shun. And it's the same drug that Sun Yang used and cost me a few medals, all them years ago. And that's the annoying thing, really. It's more the frustration of, we trust WADA to do their job. And at the end of the day, it's only coming out now because they don't believe that they were negligent or whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, Shayna Jack had 0.01 of something in someone, she was banned for 2 years. Like, that's it, you're gone. Where these guys, obviously, it was kept hush and that was it. But like, and obviously it's being spread between 23 athletes. I mean, like, come on, we're not stupid. And it's just more the frustration, really, that we train, we all try and play fair, we all do our same bit, but no one's going to even think about doing it. Then obviously this happens, and it's happened to China again. And it now makes you think, like, what to believe now? Like, what do you actually believe of what they're doing? Obviously Quinn Haiyang was in there. Like, you can't say, yeah, you're a drug cheat now, but like, it does make you question things of like, well, if you're in that top 23, what else have you been doing? It opens the door to so many other things. But at the end of the day, we have to kind of stand for what's right and trust the system that we use, which is obviously WADA, and we're all on it and try to play fair. But at the end of the day, it's completely out of our hands. And it just shows that, I think the tweets that people have done, obviously myself, Chad, Adam, load of other athletes, it's just frustrating. And, that's the bottom line, really.
So I'm guessing a lot of people don't realize this, but I've spoken to many American athletes about the measures that USADA, the U.S. Anti-Doping Association, takes. Yeah. To make sure that U.S. athletes are clean. It's like drug testers from USADA can show up to practices any time of the week for U.S. athletes and say, all right, you can't train anymore. You have to go take a drug test right now. You know, athletes have to fill out a monthly calendar of where they are at any given time so that drug testers can show up and test them.
Yeah.
And this is a monthly happening. I'm curious what it's like in the UK.
So the UK is the exact same. It's called UCAD over here, UK Anti-Doping, on the WADA app. And you literally put in every training session, your 1 hour slot every day of where you'll be, where they can come and test you. I had a drug test guy come in at 6:30 on a Sunday morning. That's not even my hour. So a complete random test. And the guy's come to my house for a long time. Nice chat, but it was an out of hours test. So, but they can literally come whenever they want. And you have to do it, and that's it. There's no saying, oh no, you can't do it. It's, that's the way I think USADA and UCAD run really well. they're on top of it, and you have to fill it in. Otherwise, you know, there can be strikes. Obviously, three strikes and you're banned for 2 years. But in the day, it's just making sure that you're on top of that. And whatever we take, we know that obviously global draw is what we can use. Drugs, it's like if I've got a cold or something, everything's always checked on there. The doctor knows what she's doing, but I'll double check it anyway. And you know, and that's it. It's not rocket science, but clearly, over there, when obviously the drug TMZ is banned, and you know, I saw some on YouTube, and someone made a comment about it, and I can't remember what it was. I lost it, so I was going to bring it up today. But you know, it's like, why is it being shared over 23 athletes? Like, what's it doing in a kitchen? And that's the question you got to ask. Why is that in a kitchen with 23 other athletes there when it's a banned substance? You know, that is the question that, you know, we're asking, really. But yeah, you know, back to the story of UCAD, you know, we're all on the same thing, and it's being clean, and you know, it's having the right things inside your body to stick to the rules, and that's it. It's not rocket science.
Right. And I mean, it's just now it's even kind of a worse look after, you know, a couple things have come out. China's denied it as fake news, which, I mean, it is not totally unexpected, but then you see that they have donated an additional $2 million to WADA in over 2018 and 2019. So it's just, it doesn't look good, right? The optics are quite bad. And
see, I didn't even know that. I didn't know they did. I didn't even know they did that. Donating $2 million. It's like, that's complete news to me. But yeah, it's more the shock, the frustration, and people are owed medals, like, and that's it. People who, if they were, they should never have competed in 2021, banned substance or not, or it was an accident or whatever it may be. People say they'll have accidents, and I get that, that's completely fine. But the fact of the matter is, it's 23 of them, and it was Olympic year, and they also competed. It's not fair. Like, that's the, and everyone, I think, in that situation, in that boat, would say the exact same thing. But at the end of the day, you have to, you know, trust WADA and back what they say. And, you know, that's their decision at the end of it. We can't change that. And the finals, that's the final line, I think.
So you just qualified for your third Olympics.
Yes,
on a good note. Well, so I want to get to that in a minute. But has this changed your feeling at all about competing in an Olympics? Going in, maybe not being able to trust the system of fairness that's in place.
I feel like that's a good question. But yeah, I mean, obviously third Olympics is great. But you know, now obviously when you look at China, the questions are going to be raised, and it creates, I think, a bit of a tension between the athletes of this massive story's come out and you're competing against a few of them. It doesn't feel the same as in, like, you know, if I'm competing against a Kyle Chalmers or Alex Graham or Duncan Scott, it's good fun, it's a laugh. Where now this story's come out about them having a banned substance and then, you know, competing in Tokyo, then they're back again and a big story's come out. It's the air is not the same as it used to be. There's a bit of friction there, and it's never nice to have that. Obviously at the Olympic Games, it's the pinnacle thing for us in swimming, but in the day, you know, it's about focusing on myself. And and I'm sure when we get down to the nitty-gritty bit, everyone will be thinking about themselves and how they can perform best and try and block out of it as much as they can. And at the end of the day, it's not going to change anything of them being there. You know, if they're there or not, I'll still try and swim as fast as I can. So that's what I would say anyway.
I think that's all you can do at this point. Hopefully there will be noise made and the powers that be, you know, we will see change.
Yes.
I don't know if that will happen, but
yeah.
Let's change gears and speak about this good note. You made your third Olympics, coming off of British trials. How did you feel about your meet and then also about qualifying for Paris?
I thought the week was okay. 103 start of it was good in the morning. You know, I don't really do the 103. 100 fly was a bit of not a very good one. I saw it, you know, completely wrong. It was more embarrassment for me on my part of knowing the time I could go and what I've done in like stand-ups and like race simulation stuff in training and doing that and not swimming at how I'd usually swim, it was quite frustrating. Obviously the 203 was fantastic. Obviously top two spots is what, you know, I thought I could have done if not win it. And I think those four lads who became, well, 1, 2, 3, 4, I think we all thought we could win that race. But unfortunately, that, you know, the tuna free is very, very tight. It's our tuna free in Britain is fast and it's quite deep for the top five. But at the end of the day, like for me, I'm probably in the best shape of my life. Had the freestyle, you could see, had so much easy speed, was really fast to about 180 meters, and then it started to hurt a little bit, and that's when Matty and Duncan came through, really. But no, it was a good week for me, and it just shows that the work that I'm doing now is clearly putting me in a great place. And you know, as I've got a little bit older, you know, 28, it's I'm right on my back on my best times again, which is, you know, really happy and exciting for the future.
Yeah. What was the vibe of British trials as a whole? I think, like any big trials meet, it seemed like there was a lot of mainstays who got their spots. There was some up and newcomers who made the team. There was some maybe expected veterans who didn't quite make it. You and just like, you know, being, can you put us there on deck and kind of what was the vibe? I know at our trials, it's just tension all the time. Like everything is so tense. What was it like for you guys there?
So I feel like when I didn't get there until day two, but it was like, it was a proper British trials, as in like the boards were all around. It was at London 2012 Aquatic Centre. It was live streamed. You could see it felt like it was a real competition. Sometimes when we're in Sheffield, a lot of the times, you know, it's the same old thing of back to Sheffield, where now it's like in London, the Olympic Park, like this is a real Olympic trials. And that's what I feel like sometimes we do miss that when we watch, obviously, you guys do your meet and it's like full stadium, jam packed, the fire's coming out. And I feel like we're getting to that point of, especially for our Olympic trials, it's probably the biggest meet in Britain we could do. I think a British Championships is still pretty important. But the feel of Olympic trials is definitely a lot bigger over here now from what I've just seen. But yeah, it was a great environment to be around. And just being back in London again is something that kind of a bit special, which makes it kind of that bit more exciting. Where, you know, being at Sheffield or anywhere else, it's not quite the same. But being back in London again, mate, was fantastic. And, you know, I feel like British doing what they did and how they stepped it up as... From considering it was last Olympic trials was like there was no fans there, you know, it was really, really weird. Where now it's like it was full, like the Saturday and Sunday night was there was no tickets available. You know, I couldn't even get any spare ones for friends. So, you know, it just shows that people are kind of growing for the sport, and which is, you know, great to see and come watch us race and, you know, battle out for them Olympic spots.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's great to hear. And I mean, yeah, the U.S. Olympic trials is going to be in an American football stadium this year.
That's quite cool. Really cool.
It is. And you know, it'll be the biggest one yet, and we'll see how it goes, but I'm guessing it'll be good. But it's good to hear, especially with the growth of British swimming, that trials is also evolving as well.
Yeah, of course. I think like it's exciting, you know, for us, it's the main meets of the year, obviously the Olympic meets and the big meets in summer, and then obviously the trials in April. And this was the first time where I felt like for a long time, it's a proper trials where you have to deliver your best swim under pressure. And it's not easy. It's not. It can really get you sometimes. I feel like even for me, the 100 fly, not even the greatest swim, it did throw me off a little bit on that 2 and 3 because I was like, hang on a minute, I'm not on the team yet. I can't really mess this up. Where I feel like if I had gone an early one in the week or had a good 100 fly, I'd have been a lot more kind of relaxed at the back of my mind because I was thinking like, I'm not actually officially on the team yet. I haven't qualified yet. So this is quite important to deliver this. I knew the 2 and 3 was going to be good. You know, my freestyle has been really, really good this year. And I feel like it can be even faster in summer. But yeah, there's always a little bit of doubt of your mind where you're not on the team. And I think I had that a little bit. But it just shows that sometimes pressure can get to you when it is then really important. It's like it's so important to stick to your race process and do it, you know, over and over again and get it embedded in you, because sometimes it can catch you off guard and you can get carried away with the excitement of being at a trials. Everyone's cheering for you. The crowd's going wild. You know, it can get to you a little bit.
Absolutely. I don't see how it couldn't. Yeah.
Yeah. But
obviously you were able to, you know, get the job done to deal with the pressure and make the team. So congrats. Yeah.
It was good, mate. It was good. I never saw it as qualifying for my third Olympics. I never saw it as that. It was like once I'd done it, I was like, okay, I'm now going to my third Olympic Games. Like, now I'm going. It's where at the start, it's like, get the job done, go and do it, win it, da 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 da. Well, then you obviously finish the week off and you're like, I'm going to my third Olympics. You know, that's quite nice. It's quite a nice feeling.
I bet it is. Yeah. So I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to ask you to answer not as an athlete, but as a coach, if you can, to the best of your abilities, because I think you might have a little more insight than I do. You swam on three relays in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And all of them medaled. Two of them won.
Two of them did win.
Do you see yourself swimming on three or more relays in Paris?
Potentially. It depends on the 100 fly. So because I have the qualifying time from last year at Worlds, I can do it individually.
I can.
Okay. Yeah. So I've got the Finoway time from last year, from the Worlds. So I think that's 51.4, 51.3. Still not quite where I wanted to be, but so obviously the 4x2 is guaranteed. The next fly, obviously Joe Litchford won the fly. So it'll be between myself and him for the medley relay spots and the mixed medley. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no other flyer. So it'd be between me and him. And I feel like, you know, on a competition, on a like a rolling start, you know, I am really good. I really deliver in them relays. I always have done. But I still feel like I can also stand a 50-point high. I know I can. I've kind of, what I see in training is just kind of getting the race put together and doing it properly. I know I have that kind of that back end speed from just being fitter in general from what I'm doing in training. So it's just doing it at the right moment. But yeah, I think there's definitely potential, even probably, I'd say three, maybe four.
So you think there's potential for maybe a prelims on the 4x1 free?
Well, this is the question. We don't know yet. So obviously, Jacob Whittle came fifth. So I have to talk to the coaches about that, because obviously he has to swim that, and he deserves that. He qualified for that race. But it's whether there'll be rest two in the morning, or we rest one. But what I've always found is that a lot of sometimes is we always overcook it in the morning. Like, we were first back last year by about a second after the Fukuoka 4x1. So there is room to move there. I just got to show that I can roll a 47.8 or something, which I know I can do. I was 48.6 in the morning. And it was like, you know, I've rolled 47 mid to high, probably, I think done it three times. You know, and my freestyle is a lot faster now than it was then. So, I think I've just got to put my bid in for it and say, guys, you can trust me on this. Like, I'm not going to go 49.5. Like, do not worry. But sometimes I feel like the powers that be above will always take no risk. So if you even show any signs of weakness, they will not put you in it at all, which I understand. Like, it's a medal. It's an Olympic team medal. Like, you have to get the results. But I think they've always known me as being Mr. Reliable and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'll definitely bid my case for that, because I think there's a genuine potential for a medal there. So I will fight my case for that. Don't worry.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm very glad to hear that, mate.
Yeah.
So what are the next few months look like for you leading into Paris?
So a few months. So we're going to Turkey next week, going to Gloria outdoors training camp. 2 weeks will be amazing. Gloria's and obviously in Turkey. I think Pete's there at the minute, but it's like, all the best athletes in the world are there. Athletics guys are there. Like the Qatari high jumper Olympic champion was there. The Indian javelin thrower was there. Olympic champion was there. Like, everyone goes there to train. The gym's incredible. The pool's amazing. It's buffet, all inclusive. Like, you can't complain. It's probably the best place to train in the world. So we're doing that for 2 weeks. Then I'm doing the AP meet at the end of May, which would be cool. And then we're doing the Set a Collie meet in Rome. But I do want to do a 4 and a 3 again at some point. I do want to do one. I feel like I could really throw down a fast time at the minute. So it just depends when it is. That's the only problem.
Yeah. But so you have basically two more competitions.
Two more comps. And then I think we come back from Set a Collie, and it's like literally a month to the game start, like 5 weeks. So it's literally come back, probably hammer it for 2 or 3 weeks, and then just start resting down. Like, that's it. Rest.
Yeah. Do you guys, since Paris is so relatively close, what do you guys do for like training camp or staging camp?
So we're going to Reims on July the 14th. So it's like an hour and a half away from Paris. Mm-hmm. So it's not far at all, maybe an hour away. And our Team GB like base is there. So athletics will come, the boxers will come, and we'll all like be training there. We've got a pool, we've got an indoor pool there, an outdoor pool, Olympic size, like everything's there, mate, ready to go. We had our like, before Setakoi last year, we went there for a week and we tried it out, what it was like and stuff. And you know, mate, it was great. It was brilliant.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's exciting. What about you? Where are you guys going? What's the plan for USA?
I think they go to Raleigh, North Carolina. So like close to Charlotte for the US camp or the camp that's in the US. And then I don't know where they go.
Oh, really? Europe.
Yeah. I don't know if they've officially announced it yet. I might be breaking news right now. I don't know. Maybe I'm not supposed to know that. I don't know. But yeah. So I think it's in North Carolina. So like on the East Coast for a week or two, probably. And then they'll go to Europe somewhere, but I don't know where yet.
Yeah, man. No, it's definitely exciting. I feel like even off topic a little bit, going back to that last day of trials, like the amount of texts that I got was just incredible. Like people who watched the swim, you know, Chad messaged me, Connor Dwyer messaged me, like, you know, all these people from years and years ago. So it was great to see that people were still rooting, you know, just, you know, throw that out there. It was, you know, really nice to have that. Yeah, it was good, man. Really good.
But I mean, to have a race like that on the last day of a trials.
They do it every year, though. Every year, the last two, every year they put the tuna free the last day. And it's like, oh, like, come on, put it on the first day. Just get it over and done with. Because we were in the core room, we were like, it's the same people. It's the same laugh, same giggle, same jokes being said. Yeah. And, you know, it's good fun on the day. You know, it was nice to be next to Duncan. I've not raced Duncan like that for a long time. You know, and he's a really good lad and good friend of mine. Obviously, I train with Matt as well. So it just shows that what we have in Britain is really, really good at the minute. And I feel like we can definitely progress that on in Paris. I feel like we all can move on quite a bit more.
Yeah. Well, good luck with moving on. Good luck with the next few months. And thank you for coming on and giving your honest take.
Oh, no problem at all. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Swim Swam podcast. Stay tuned for new episodes every week. You can take Swim Swam podcast on the go by subscribing on your favorite podcast platform. Look for links in the description below and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more videos as well.